It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Conflict Kitchen, an Oakland restaurant that specializes in cuisine from nations with which the United States is in conflict, recently introduced a Palestinian menu to coincide with Middle East talks at the University Honors College at Pitt. This week, the restaurant has hosted Leila El-Haddad, a Palestinian journalist, blogger, chef, and author of the book Gaza Kitchen. Tonight at 8, she'll cook a large Gazan dinner and give a talk about Palestine, its food, and its politics. She joins us in Studio A to talk about food, culture, and politics in the Middle East. Leila El-Haddad, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Now, according to Conflict Kitchen co-founder John Rubin, one of the goals of the restaurant is to use food to talk about politics and create a sense of place. How do you personally describe the connection between food and place?
Well, it's a fascinating question, and one of the ones that spurred me to write The Gaza Kitchen. I think food serves to locate us, to cement our identities, and this is particularly true for populations who have lived in diaspora for a while or have been fragmented, such as the Palestinians. So personally, having grown up in diaspora in various countries throughout the Middle East, food was one of those things that always kind of brings it home and again, locates you where maps and modern dictionaries fail to do so.
And is food something that can play a role in promoting understanding and friendly, and if not friendly, at least better relations between people?
I think there's a – I mean, it certainly can, right? There's this whole idea of, you know, breaking bread with one another. But there's also sort of a – it's a misnomer, a stereotype that if we're speaking specifically about Palestinians and Israelis, that somehow they've been you know, it's an ethnic conflict and they've been fighting for centuries and why can't they just get along? And if they break bread with one another, then everything will be okay. Whereas in reality, Palestinians and Israelis never had a problem, or, you know, I should say prior to 1948, Palestinians and Jews never had a problem. We're always neighbors living very peacefully with one another. It only became a problem when their rights and their land was taken from them and, you know, borders were erected and so on and so forth. So food can only do so much. It can certainly be a starting point, but you really have to also address the underlying context and inequities in order to really have a meaningful conversation.
So you're hosting this dinner tonight, and it's a large public dinner, and people may hear this, and so you may end up getting more people than you were you were planning to have, Leila. But there you will be cooking this large public Gazan dinner. So what would you say it's all about? You're going to talk about Palestine. You're going to talk about politics. So nothing is taboo here. Everything's on the table. So what do you see it as? How would you characterize it?
Well, I think, as I was saying, it's kind of a stepping stone. It's a way to be able to have a conversation about a place that is very misunderstood. And, you know, some people might say, well, what, you know, we're not really in conflict with Palestine, are we? You know, is Palestine even a country? And why, you know, why would we need to address this issue or be interested in this issue? And my response to that is always, I think we are uniquely positioned here in America and we are obligated, in fact, to learn about Palestine and to be involved and to even promote social justice there and advocate for rights and equality because we are such uneven-handed brokers and that more of our tax dollars go to inflicting harm against Palestinians than in any other place. So we may not directly be in conflict, but we are certainly a segue to conflict, or we fund conflict, I should say. So I hope that this will be an introduction or a way for people to come and have a conversation and to learn about, especially in the wake of this summer's attacks against Gaza, kind of the way that I do in the book with my co-author, using food as a narrative tool to be able to have a discussion about Palestine and about Gaza.
We're talking with Leila El-Haddad, a Palestinian journalist, blogger, chef, and author of the book Gaza Kitchen, among others. You've also written a book called Gaza Mom, and I want to read an excerpt from that in which you say, quote, "As a Palestinian, you cannot separate the personal from the political. Our identity surfaces with particular intensity on international borders," end quote. Explain what you mean here.
Yeah, that was written during the years when I was working as a reporter in Gaza and raising my young son, Yusuf, at the time. And it was a really intense period to be a mother and to be a Palestinian, to be a reporter all at the same time. Meanwhile, having to cross these borders regularly out to get in and out of the Gaza Strip between Egypt and Gaza. And it was what the Palestinian scholar Rashid Al-Khalidi calls the quintessential Palestinian experience, is when you are at borders, when your Palestinianness surfaces, meaning your vulnerability, meaning your dispossession, meaning your statelessness. And it was always for me an issue as a writer of how to convey that to people. I feel like if they understood those things, then they would understand what it is, what it means to be Palestinian. And so a lot of my those experiences informed my writing. There was many, many experiences when I was stranded with my young son on the border, and I began to blog about it and eventually wrote a book about it.
And when it comes to life in Gaza, it's so cut off. Describe life there. I think the last time you were there, it's been a while, hasn't it?
I was there last June.
Okay. Oh, so not terribly long.
Not too long, yeah. It's very difficult, obviously, to get in and out.
I would imagine.
Yeah. So especially with young children. So, you know, obviously it's very misunderstood. I think people Nancy Harmon Jenkins said it really well, the food writer, food critic, in the introduction to our book, The Gaza Kitchen. She says, we all know Gaza, right? That place that is uniquely victim and aggressor. And I think, you know, that's kind of sums it up very well. We think we know Gaza, and in our minds, it's just kind of this, impoverished, dark place with a cinder block landscape, when in reality, it is actually a very, you know, green, very fertile place that has been artificially, you know, de-developed and impoverished as a result of this very deliberate siege that is intended to deprive people of their freedoms, their prosperity, their ability to develop, and so forth, all very direct, explicit goals of the siege. So it's hard because, yes, on one hand, you have something like 85% of the people now who are reliant on food aid in order to be able to feed their families. And that is not a very good situation to have in the long term when you are, what's the impact of long term aid dependence? And then the other, you have something like, I want to say the majority of the population being under the age 25, generally a very resilient, very young, very innovative young population with no prospect, no horizon. Everything that comes in and out of Gaza is controlled by Israel, including people and goods. So what do you do with that? What future is there then for these young people? And how can you advance? And even when there isn't a state of direct attack, some form of closure or siege is ongoing. So it's grim, but at the same time, there is hope in the sense that the people are very innovative and resilient, I would say, and very creative.
What do you think of claims that by focusing on Palestine, that Conflict Kitchen is taking a position against Israel?
I mean, that's absurd. I think it's taking a position, you can't say just because somebody is, for example, in another context, if you're advocating for any issue involving social justice, if you're advocating for, equal rights or freedom, it doesn't make you anti something else, is the best way to put it. So if I, as a Palestinian, am advocating equal rights between Palestinian and Israelis, it doesn't make me anti-Israeli. It doesn't make me, anti-Semitic, to take it even further. So I think all they're doing is trying to illuminate, to try to educate people about the situation, in Palestine and what the Palestinians are enduring. Certainly does not make them anti-Israeli.
We're talking with Leila El-Haddad, who is she is a chef and certainly an expert on food. She's the author of the book Gaza Kitchen, and she's cooking a large Gazan dinner tonight and giving a talk about Palestine, its food, and its politics. Again, that's at 8 o'clock at the Conflict Kitchen in Oakland. I think a lot of people might be wondering, so what does, keep it to be simple about it in terms of the terminology. What is Palestinian food exactly?
Oh, good question. I mean, on one hand, Palestinian food is part of a continuum of foods throughout the Levant, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan. Of course, there was never borders several decades ago. And on the other hand, it's defined, regionally within Palestine, I would say, by the food of the coastal areas, rich with seafood, and the urban centers like Yaffa, Gaza, Jerusalem, and so on. And then you have the food of the rural interior, the farming areas, which is, again, more seasonal, relies more on grains, less on meat. And the food of the south, like the Gaza areas and the Hebron and so on, that tends to be spicier. So generally speaking, the foods of northern Palestinian cuisine tend to be yogurt-based, much more mild in terms of their use of spices, a bit more sour, use a lot of spices that lend some tart and sour flavors like sumac and tamarind and sour pomegranate molasses. In the south, in Gaza in particular, Gaza City uses a lot of chili peppers, part of its history being part of being a major stop depot along the spice route and trade routes there. And once upon a time being the main port along the Mediterranean has given it this very rich culinary heritage. Also, what's unique about Gaza is that you had hundreds of thousands of Palestinians in 1948 who were displaced and from their homes and their towns and villages depopulated, poured into Gaza, bringing their own heritage culinary traditions with them from the farming interiors, from the coast and so forth. So it makes Gaza a very interesting place to encounter those culinary traditions that from these towns and villages, which may not exist on a map, but certainly you can still taste through the food. So it's a very varied cuisine. In Gaza in particular, you find flavors you don't find elsewhere, like the use of the peppers, the intense use of spices, and the use of dill, both green dill and dill seed, which is something very unique to the Gaza area. Certainly you don't see it being used in the immediate adjacent areas like in the rest of Palestinian food.
And what will you be cooking up tonight? What's on the menu?
Well, I'm ashamed to say I myself will not be cooking, but I sort of was supervising or had oversight in terms of the menu and being consulted. So they'll be making...
So what will you be supervising?
There you go. So they'll be featuring some dishes that are very uniquely Gazan, including a shrimp stew that is baked in a clay pot. This is kind of a very unique dish that you will have if you ever go to any of Gaza's seaside shacks or restaurants. It's called shrimps in a clay pot, essentially. They'll be making a very quintessential Gaza City salad called degga, which is a hot tomato and dill salad that is more of like a salsa that is made in a mortar and pestle that is common in Gaza. And we'll also be having calamari with caramelized onions and rice and possibly a fenugreek olive oil dessert that is very typical of Palestinian desserts.
That sounds very...
It is. I encourage everyone to come. And I do want to say I think one of the other goals of Conflict Kitchen and this particular iteration is to mainstream and humanize Palestine. Whereas, frequently in the discourse that we have about Palestine-Israel, it tends to be uneven. It tends to be Palestinians aren't even spoken about as though they were human beings deserving of these very basic things of freedoms and equalities. So I think this will really serve to bridge that gap.
Leila El-Haddad is a Palestinian journalist, blogger, chef, and author of the book Gaza Kitchen. Tonight at 8, she'll cook or supervise the cooking of a large Gazan dinner and give a talk about Palestine, its food, and its politics. She joined us in Studio A. Leila El-Haddad, thanks for being with us.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Coming up, with nonprofit and for-profit businesses vying for volunteer labor, how does the future of volunteering look for Pittsburgh? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.